0. Would you stand as we sing, please? Possible, would you kneel in prayer? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this time and this opportunity that we have, Father. Thankful that we have this place of worship to come and to gather and to hear Thy Word, Father. As we come before Thee at this time, we do so asking that You might look down upon us in mercy and forgiveness, praying that You would be with us and that Your Spirit will be poured out upon us, Father, that You would strengthen us, that You would guide and direct us. We pray, Father, that You be with the many we know stand in need of our prayers, that You would continue to strive with us and direct us in the paths and the endeavors that You would have us to make, Father. As we come together at this time of this evening, Father, we do so lifting up our brother and Thy chosen servant before Thee, praying that You would help him, that he would be able to order and prepare himself, that he would be able to present to us this evening some of the many things that he has discovered as he has studied and prepared himself to make this presentation this evening. We pray, Father, that You would help us, that we would learn from what he would bring forth unto us this evening, and that we would be able to use it to understand things better and to be able to draw closer unto Thee because of it, Father. We do pray that You would continue with many that are not here this evening for whatever their reasons, other obligations, or traveling in the various fields, or discouragement, or whatever it would be. We pray that You would be with each and watch over them. And these things we do thank Thee for, and we would ask and pray for in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We will continue this evening with 295, and while you're in thy hand, 295. And stand again as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Well, I do hope this evening that we've each come ready to listen to what our brother has taken the time to prepare that he might be able to present to us this evening, because I know any time that you endeavor to give a presentation such as this, many hours of research and study go into every few minutes that are spoken up here, and it's a monumental task to be able to put that much time and studying in to decide, you know, what to use, not make it too long, keep it interesting, yet still have something that we can benefit from and that we can learn from. So I do hope that you appreciate the effort that our brother has put into preparing this evening, and his desires that he might be able to in some way bring a better understanding to us. And so I hope that you'll offer up your prayers for him and that you would give him your careful and your considerate attention this evening, our brother and elder Ken Orr.
Thank you, Glenn. What prompted my interest in this subject was mostly the day and time that we live in. And the Lord had made many promises to the children of men. Some of them have already been fulfilled. Many will be fulfilled in these days that we live in, I believe. Several things that I discovered as I was preparing for this. There's multitudes and multitudes of scriptures concerning God's covenants. There's promises to the children of men, the fulfillment of them. And not all the scriptures, of course, contain the word covenant. Many are explanations of God's dealings concerning those covenants. It was difficult to choose sometimes which scriptures to use and which not to use. I tried to keep this, like Glenn said, I tried to keep it as short as possible and still present the information that I thought was pertinent to the subject. So, of course, a lot of scriptures I scratched out, and then I went through it and I crossed more out, and I tried to get it down to a length that would be, I'd be able to present in a short period of time. So I'm sure that some of the subjects that I divided this into, there may be better scriptures and different scriptures. And I got some handouts I'm going to ask Glenn if he will pass out in a few moments, basically outlining what we're going to cover this evening. To make it interesting, that was something else that I discovered. It's pretty hard to make it interesting, you know. It's not something you can come up here and draw pictures and tell stories about. It's a lot of scripture. But I tried to keep the scriptures brief and to the point. And I'm not going to explain, I don't think, a lot about each scripture. I think they're, for the most part, self-explanatory. I'm going to ask Glenn if he would pass these out. There should be enough for everybody who wants one. First of all, what is a covenant? We need to define the word. Briefly stated, a covenant is a formal binding agreement. It's a contract. Just as you would contract to purchase a car or purchase a house or get a loan at the bank, it's a binding agreement. You're bound to fulfill that agreement. The same with God and the same with man. We're bound, and he is bound to fulfill that agreement. You notice at the top of your first page, I just put a little bit of a study outline. I divide it into 14 categories. They overlap, of course. Could have added more. I could have taken some away. But I felt comfortable with the 14 subtopics under the word covenant. The first one is to all the world. And for those of you who have books, if you'd like to turn to Genesis in the 9th chapter, Genesis chapter 9, the first couple scripture readings are more lengthy than the others. But in the 9th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse, "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth." Now I'm not going to read the rest of that scripture, but the first covenant that God made with man was the rainbow. And he covenanted with Noah, and that covenant applies to us today, that he would no more destroy the world by water. Next, there's a couple of covenants that were general to all the house of Israel, and you could expand it that they were general to all mankind. And the first one is also found in Genesis in the 17th chapter, beginning at the 2nd verse. Genesis chapter 17, verse 2, "And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shalt thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generation." And it goes on to explain the token of that covenant was circumcision between Abraham and God. So God covenants with Abraham that his seed, and this was before, many years before there was the 12 tribes of Israel, God covenanted with Abraham that his seed would possess the land of Canaan, that to be a possession, an everlasting inheritance. And he also, in verse 8, he also makes another covenant with Abraham that he would be their God. And I think that's important. God covenants with Abraham that he would be their God, and he expected Abraham and his seed to worship him and not to worship other gods. And we'll see the folly of that in later scriptures. So that is a binding covenant agreement between God and the house of Israel that the land of Canaan will be a land of their inheritance. Exodus chapter 34. Two short verses, 27 and 28, in the 34th chapter. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Write thou these words, for after the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and he did neither eat bread nor drink water, and he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments." Those Ten Commandments that the Lord gave to the house of Israel were a covenant between the children of Israel and God. They were binding. Those Ten Commandments were binding upon the house of Israel. The Lord, early in his dissertation with the children of men, warns them about breaking that covenant. In Leviticus, the 26th chapter, I got verses 14 through 46, and I'm not going to read all of that. But there is a couple verses in there that I'd like to read in the 26th chapter of Leviticus. I'm going to read 14 through 18. And these are the Lord's words unto the house of Israel. But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, and shall consume the eyes, and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. Now I'm going to go back to that verse in a few moments, but I want to read 40 through 46. If they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them out into the, and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accepted the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant. And this is something we're going to talk about a little bit later also. But he's going to remember their covenant when they become humble. He's going to remember this covenant with Jacob and with Isaac and with Abraham, and I will remember, and I will remember the land. And that's all I'm going to read in that. But the Lord gives a time frame in these verses. He said, if they will not repent, in the 18th verse, he says, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And if you sit down and figured that out and used the scriptures in reference to that, that you'd find out that that was 2,520 years. Interestingly, twice as long as the apostasy. And that began, the Lord gave the house of Israel opportunity upon opportunity to repent. And then finally in 720 and 721 B.C., Assyria came and overran the 10 northern tribes of Israel. And this was fulfilled. They broke the covenant and this was fulfilled. They were scattered throughout the nations of the world. That was to last for 2,520 years. And with the restoration of the gospel in 1830, we'll read in the Book of Mormon that when these things began, that he was already fulfilling the covenants in these latter days. So I thought that was kind of an interesting point, that he promised that if they didn't keep his covenant and his commandments, what would happen. And that's something we can look back and see. There's actual physical dates that we can see that that happened. They were warned not to make covenants with strange gods, which is what they did. They made covenants with strange gods and worshipped other gods. But after these many years, subheading number 4 says they'll come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ in the latter days. And that's a covenant. With the house of Israel, they will come to the knowledge of Christ. Since we're in the Bible, let's go to Ezekiel in the 34th chapter. These are short scriptures, but I feel they're important scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 34, we're going to read 27 through 30. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord. He's speaking to the house of Israel, I believe. And when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them, and they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I am the Lord their God, that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. So in the latter days, they will come to the knowledge of Christ. They will know that he is God. In the Book of Mormon, perhaps a little more plain, The second book of Nephi, the 5th chapter and the 29th verse. Page 100 for those who may be following. 29th verse says, "Nevertheless, the Lord will be merciful unto them, that when they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer, they shall be gathered together again to the lands of their inheritance." And it seems to be a parallel here, that they will not be gathered in until they come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Perhaps it'll happen at the same time. I'm not sure. You know, and there's lots of people going back to Israel today. But I think if you read in the 38th and 39th chapters of Ezekiel, you're going to see that the Lord is going to lead the armies of the north against Israel. And then Israel, when the armies are defeated, won't know who did it. It's not going to be their might. It's not going to be the mighty of the United States, but it's going to be the arm of the Lord. And they will at that time know that Jesus Christ is the one who saved them. So perhaps many of those who have already returned to Israel may not remain there. But they will come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. The 11th chapter of 2 Nephi. Beginning at the 25th verse, page 141, says, "Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered among all the nations." And we just read that in Leviticus, what was going to happen to them. "Yea, and also Babylon shall be destroyed. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered by other nations. And after that they have been scattered, and the Lord God has scourged them by other nations for the space of many generations, yea, even down from generation to generation, until they shall be persuaded to believe in Christ, the Son of God, and the atonement which is infinite for all mankind. And when that day shall come, that they shall believe in Christ and worship the Father in His name with pure hearts and clean hands, and look not forward any more to another Messiah, then at that time the day will come that it must needs be expedient that they should believe these things, and the Lord will set again the second time to restore His people from their lost and fallen state." You can read in Mormon 44 through 43 that they'll be persuaded to believe in Christ. So that they need to come. And I believe that that is a covenant with the house of Israel. In the latter days, they will come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I hope through this you can see where the Church of Christ fits in. I'm not going to get into that tonight, but through all these scriptures, I think there's a pattern of where the Church of Christ fits into to God's covenants and the fulfilling of those covenants in these latter days. The results of breaking covenant. You know, the Lord gave those covenants, and we've seen one result. We read about it already in Leviticus. The Lord warned the people what was going to happen, and then we can see the physical evidence in history of what happened. And we can see it through, well, all the way up until our present time, what has happened to the house of Israel. They've been persecuted, they've been hated, they've been murdered, driven from country to country. Truly, a people without a home. Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. And as we're going through this, you know, we've broken it down into 14 little parts. But of course, the main covenant that the Lord has with the house of Israel is in the latter days, they would be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance. That's the covenant with the house of Israel, that they'll come to the knowledge of Christ and be gathered in. Deuteronomy chapter 29. Well, I guess I will begin at the 19th verse. "And it came to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. The Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in the book of the law, so that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land, shall say, when they see the plagues of that land, and the wickedness and the sickness which the Lord has laid upon it, and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning, that it is not sown nor beareth, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. Even all the nations shall say, wherefore has the Lord done this unto the land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger? And men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. Specifically, they broke the Ten Commandments. Joshua, chapter 23, one verse, the 16th verse. Joshua 23:16 says, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourself to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given unto thee. 7:21, it quickly happened. Fulfillment of that promise. In the Book of Mormon, first chapter of 2 Nephi, page 78. Wherefore I, Lehi, have obtained a promise that inasmuch as they which the Lord shall bring out of the land of Jerusalem shall keep his commandments, they shall prosper upon the face of the land, and they shall be kept from all other nations, that they may possess this land unto themselves. And if it so be that they shall keep his commands, they shall be blessed upon the face of this land. And there shall be none to molest them, nor to take away the land of their inheritance, and they shall dwell safely forever. But behold, when the time cometh that they shall dwindle in unbelief, after that they have received so great blessings from the hand of the Lord, having a knowledge of the creation of the earth and all men, knowing the great and marvelous works of the Lord from the creation of the world, having power given unto them to do all things by faith, having all the commandments from the beginning, and having been brought by his infinite goodness into this precious land of promise, behold, I say, if the day shall come that they will reject the Holy One of Israel, the true Messiah, their Redeemer and their God, behold, the judgments of him that is just shall rest upon them, and he will bring other nations unto them, and he will give unto them power, and he will take away from them the lands of their possessions, and he will cause them to be scattered and smitten. And again, we can look into history, and we can see when the Gentiles came to this land, what did they do? They drove the Lamanite people from before them, they scattered them, they slew them. Fulfillment of God's promise, the fulfillment of the warning of breaking the covenant. If they kept the commandments, all would be well, but when they broke that covenant, the Lord's anger was kindled against them. And we'll see a parallel in these days today as we go along. See, that Joseph was kind of separated from the rest of the house of Israel. In the blessing in Genesis in the 49th chapter, we see that Joseph's blessing was going to be greater than that of his brothers. And that he would be a fruitful bough against the wall, and he would be taken away to a land of everlasting hills. And we see in the Book of Mormon, we see a fulfillment of that blessing upon Joseph when Lehi and his family were led from Jerusalem to this land. If we turn to Ether, well, since we're in the first chapter of 2 Nephi, there's a quick scripture right here in the 6th and 7th verse. It says, these are the words of Lehi. But said he, notwithstanding our afflictions, we have obtained a land of promise, a land which is choice above all other lands, a land which the Lord God has covenanted with me should be a land for the inheritance of my seed, the seed of Joseph upon this land. Ether chapter 6. Verse verses 7 and 8, page 750. Wherefore the Lord brought a remnant of the seed of Joseph out of the land of Jerusalem, that he might be merciful unto the seed of Joseph, that they should perish not, even as he was merciful unto the father of Joseph, that he should perish not. Wherefore the remnant of the house of Joseph shall be built upon this land, and it shall be a land of their inheritance. And they shall build up a holy city unto the Lord, like unto the Jerusalem of old, and they shall no more be confounded until the end come, when the earth shall pass away. So Joseph, as the rest of the house of Israel had the promise of an inheritance in the land of Canaan, the seed of Joseph had a promise of an inheritance upon the lands of the Americas. Second Nephi chapter 7. Eighteenth verse. Excuse me. Page 114. And this land shall be a land of liberty unto the Gentiles, and there shall be no kings upon the land, which shall rise up unto the Gentiles. And then going over to verses 29 and 30. Wherefore the Gentiles shall be blessed and numbered among the house of Israel. Wherefore I will consecrate this land unto thy seed, and they which shall be numbered among thy seed forever for the land of their inheritance. A promise to the Gentiles that this will be a land of inheritance to the Gentiles if we are numbered among the house of Israel. So once we're numbered among the house of Israel, we're heir to all the promises and all the covenants that the Lord has made. Turning over to the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. Verses 77 and 78, page 158. For behold, I say unto you, as many of the Gentiles as will repent are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many as of Jews will not repent shall be cast off. For the Lord covenanteth with none, save it be with them that repent and believe in his Son, which is the Holy One of Israel. So it almost seems that the house of Israel has to come to a knowledge of Christ before the Lord can fulfill his covenants with them in these latter days. In 3 Nephi, in the 10th chapter, the first verse, it says that the Gentiles will repent and come into the covenant. And if you turn to Acts, in the 10th chapter, in the 45th verse, it's going to say that basically the same as it says in 3 Nephi chapter 9 and verse 65. That's on page 660. These are the words of Christ. And after that ye were blessed, then fulfilleth the Father the covenant which he made with Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, unto the pouring out of the Holy Ghost through me upon the Gentiles, which blessing upon the Gentiles shall make them mighty above all. Unto the scattering of my people, O house of Israel, and they shall be a scourge unto the people of this land. The covenant of the Lord is also with the Gentiles, that we will be numbered among the house of Israel, and that we will have this land as a land of inheritance. The Lord also covenant with individuals, not just with nations and peoples, but with individuals. One such is in Mosiah chapter 11. Verse 127. And it's the Lord speaking to Alma. Page 283, he says, thou art my servant, and I covenant with thee that thou shalt have eternal life. And thou shalt serve me and go forth in my name and shall gather together my sheep. And you'll find a similar one unto Nephi in Helaman chapter 3, 115 through 123. And so the word covenant is not used. It's a binding agreement between God and Nephi. The Lord says, blessed art thou for all that you've done. And he went on to enumerate what Nephi could do. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He said if he asked that mountain to move, it would be moved. And anything he asked for, the Lord would give him. And that was a covenant. That was an agreement between God and Nephi. Perhaps one of the most important aspects of covenants is our covenant with God. And I think it's so important that we remember when we read the scriptures that concern our covenant with God, that we remember that it is a formal binding agreement. It's a contract. A contract with God. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures in Mosiah chapter 3. Verse 6, page 224. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God to do His will and to be obedient to His commandments in all things that He shall command us all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon ourselves a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God. And now these are the words which King Benjamin desired them, and therefore he said unto them, He has spoken the words which I have desired, and the covenant which ye have made is a righteous covenant. And now because of the covenant which ye have made, ye shall be called the children of Christ, His sons and His daughters. That's a covenant between us and God and between God and us. In Mosiah chapter 9, 41 through 44, it says that we're baptized as a witness that we're willing to keep the commandments of God. Interesting one in 2 Chronicles. In the 34th chapter, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, beginning at the 29th verse. I'm going to read 29 through 31. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests, and the Levites, and all the people, great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant. He read the law of Moses unto them that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in the book. The king of Israel made a covenant with the Lord to keep His commandments. There's also covenants between people. Not just between God and man, but or man and God, but between men and groups of people. Mosiah chapter 6. Verses 9 and 10 on page 235. Ninth verse. And I went in unto the king, and he covenanted with me that I might possess the land of Lehi-Nephi and the land of Shalom. And he also commanded that his people should depart out of that land, and I and my people went into the land that we might possess it. And that's a covenant between Zenith and King Laman. They made a covenant, or the king actually made the covenant with him that he would give him that land. Let's read the one in 1 Samuel, chapter 1, chapter 18. First Samuel chapter 18, the third verse says, Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. A covenant between two men. Excuse me. And the last scripture I have on man's covenant with a man is in Alma in the 14th chapter. And I thought when I read this that this scripture was a good example of the importance of a covenant. How strongly these people felt about that covenant. And it kind of touched my heart that it was a scripture that brought out the importance of a covenant. Anyway, Alma, the 14th chapter, beginning at the 42nd verse on page 393. And now it came to pass that when the king had made an end of these sayings, and all the people were assembled together, they took their swords and all the weapons which were used for the shedding of man's blood, and they did bury them up deep in the earth. And this they did, it being in their view a testimony to God and also to men, that they would never use weapons again for the shedding of man's blood. And this they did, vouching and covenanting with, that's a good word, with God, that rather than shed the blood of their brethren, they would give up their own lives. That's how important that covenant was to them, that they would give up their own lives. They felt that strongly about it. And of course, there's benefits of keeping the covenants of God. Exodus chapter 19. Verses 5 and 6. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. We're going to be a peculiar people if we keep the covenant. Haven't we read words similar to that in the New Testament? I believe so. In Deuteronomy it says that the Lord will not forget his people. Those people of the covenant he will not forget. Interesting one in Psalms in the 25th chapter and 10th verse says, the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to those who keep the commandments. Thought it was an interesting little scripture there. Fulfilling of covenants in the latter days. Deuteronomy in the 4th chapter. Verses 29 through 31. But if from hence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou return to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he swore unto them. In the latter days, he's not going to forget that covenant. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter. Verses 11 and 12. Isaiah chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathos and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hema and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Something is going to happen in these latter days. He's going to remember the covenant. Third Nephi chapter 9. A lot. There's a lot in the words of Christ concerning these latter days. He could read the whole ninth chapter. I'm going to pick a couple verses, 58 and 59 to begin with, on page 659. And behold, this people will I establish in this land, that's speaking to our Lamanite brethren, on the fulfilling of the covenant which I made with your father Jacob, and it shall be a new Jerusalem. And the powers of heaven shall be in the midst of this people, yea, even I will be in the midst of you. And continuing in the ninth chapter, verses 67 through 69, and I will remember the covenant which I have made with my people, and I have covenanted with them that I would gather them together in mine own due time, that I would give unto them again the land of their fathers for an inheritance, which is the land of Jerusalem, which is the promised land unto them forever, saith the Father. And it shall come to pass that the time cometh when the fullness of my gospel shall be preached unto them, and they shall believe in me that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and shall pray unto the Father in my name. And verse 93 in the same chapter. When these things come to pass, that thy seed shall begin to know these things, and that's the seed of Joseph, our Indian brothers, it shall be a sign unto them that they may know that the work of the Father has already commenced, unto the fulfilling of the covenant which he has made unto the people which are of the house of Israel. So we know of a surety that the fulfilling of the covenant that God made unto Abraham thousands of years ago is being fulfilled, and that the way is being prepared that the children of Israel will be gathered home to the lands of their inheritance. And again I ask, where does the Church of Christ fit in to God's covenants? Romans chapter 11. And I got three scriptures here, one in Romans, one in Hebrew, and one in Nephi, that we kind of all have to read all three of them to get the full picture of this. But Romans chapter 11, verses 26 and 27. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. And then turning to Hebrew, the 8th chapter. Beginning at the 8th verse, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, covenant with the house of Israel, and one, and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write upon them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, a new covenant. He has made the first old, now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. He's speaking, of course, of the law of Moses there. But he's going to place within the hearts and the minds of the children of men, the house of Israel, to us, his law. And he's referring, Paul's referring back to what we read in Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus concerning that covenant that would be fulfilled and the preparing of that way that it can be fulfilled in these latter days. I got two more scriptures, one in 1 Nephi chapter 6. Verse 38, page 70. It says, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, O isles of the sea, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee my servant for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. A new covenant with the children of men. Moroni chapter 10, verse 30, page 777. And again, these are the final words of Moroni to the children of men. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot, a covenant, if you please, between God and man for the remission of our sins. A formal binding agreement. A contract. A contract between God and man, between man and God. Covenant concerning the gathering of the house of Israel. A covenant concerning the blessings and the promises to the Gentile people. I tried to keep this brief. I didn't want to go on too long. I know we just scratched the surface of it. But I hope it gave us a little bit of an understanding of the promises. And a covenant, it's a promise of God to the children of men. His promises to us. Those that have been fulfilled, we can look in the scripture. There's hundreds of scriptures, hundreds. And we can look at them and can see the fulfillment of them. And we can look at history and see some of those things that the Lord told the children of men that have already been fulfilled. And we can see that in these latter days that the Lord is working to fulfill his covenant, to bring the children of Israel to the knowledge of Christ and to gather them home to the lands of their inheritance. And we're going to have a part in it. The Gentiles have a very important part. We're going to be numbered among the house of Israel. We're going to be heir to all those promises. We too will be gathered home to the lands of our inheritance. So I hope that as we enter into these latter days, that we will be mindful of God's covenants and that we'll be working towards fulfilling those covenants and looking and seeing where and what place the Church of Christ has in God's plan. And I hope we're each preparing ourselves to be part of God's plan in these latter days. I thank you for your time. What to do with the closing song, Glenn, right here? Number 307. We'll close with number 307. Father in heaven, as we would separate ourselves from this place this night, we ask that thy spirit would go with us, that you'd keep us safe, Father, from harm or danger and from temptations. I would ask that thou'd strengthen us daily against the adversary and that thou'd help us to walk righteously before thee. We're thankful that we have the opportunity from time to time to gather together in the name of thy Son. And we ask that we'd be able to continue to do that, that you would bless this land, that it would be a land of freedom, that we would be able to worship thee as thy spirit would lead. Forgive us our weaknesses and our shortcomings. We do ask that thou would bless the sick and the afflicted, and that thou would accept our thanksgiving for all the blessings that thou hast given us. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.